so we just rely upon him to reveal things to us here. We know who wrote the book, Solomon, and we know that he was a man blessed of God with great wisdom. God said to him, I'm going to give you wisdom like nobody has had before you and that nobody's going to have since you, after you. No other man other than the man, the Lord Jesus himself, who is himself wisdom. But really, we just look at a verse tonight in chapter 2. He's been talking about wisdom. The one who had wisdom told us, get wisdom. With all of your getting, get it. That's a pretty good recommendation. Somebody that had it from God said, you need to get it. You need to have that. You got to have that. And in verse 10 in chapter 2, he said, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. This is so instructive, just these few words. Think about what he's saying. When wisdom enters into your heart, wisdom's got to enter in. It's not there by nature. You don't have any wisdom of your own. It's going to have to enter in. You must receive it, verse 1. He said, receive it. In the form of what? If you're going to have wisdom, you're going to have to hear some words. You have to read and hear some words. Receive my words, he said. And then he said, you'll cry after it. You'll search for it as people search for silver or hid treasures. If you ever realize the value of wisdom. But it must enter into your heart. You know, Solomon talking about wisdom here. The Apostle Paul talked about wisdom in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at that. He talking about the same. Speak the wisdom of God, Paul said. Just like God had given Solomon wisdom, Paul said he'd give us wisdom too. And we speak wisdom, the very wisdom of God in a mystery. It's mysterious. It's hidden to those who can't understand. And here's why. He says that he explains what he means by that. It's a mystery. Which God ordained, even the hidden wisdom which God had ordained before the world unto our glory. God's wisdom is going to come and we're going to be glorified because of it. Our ultimate end is glory with Christ. And that's going to come through wisdom. You're going to have to know some things. Which none of the princes of this world knew. You're going to have to know some things that the smart people, the mighty people of this world, generally speaking, aren't going to know. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that loved him. You can't see, you can't hear, you can't know. It can't enter into your heart except, verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us. He did it by His Spirit, the one that He spoke to Nicodemus about. The wind blows where it pleases. And you can hear the sound thereof. You can't tell where He came from or where He'll go. So it is with everybody that's born of the Spirit. By His Spirit, He gives us the wisdom of God. He opens our understanding. He makes us able to know Him. God hath revealed them unto us. Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal it unto you, but my Father revealed it unto you, who I am. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Spirit can reveal things to you that man cannot know any other way. For man, what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man? Which is, you can't know anything really about me unless I tell you. I know in here things that you can't know. That's what he's saying. The spirit of man that's in him. You don't know me. You think you know me. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. He's got to reveal to you what you cannot otherwise know. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. That's why we know things that others don't. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Hidden, mysterious to some, freely given to others. The Lord Jesus said, I thank thee, Father, because you've hidden these things from the wise and prudent and freely given them to babies. Revealed them. Which things also we speak. Paul said, that's what I'm telling you. I'm not telling you anything that's my opinion or something I've come up with, but what the Spirit of God has revealed unto my heart, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to speak that. Not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because he's flesh. Flesh is flesh. Spirit is spirit. They are spiritually discerned, and he's nothing but flesh. But he that is spiritual judgeth, that word is discerneth, if you look in your margin there, discerneth, or other word, in other words, knows, understands, all things. What all things? The things of the Spirit of God, the things that the Spirit reveals. What did Christ say? I'm going to go from you, you're not going to see me long. I'm not going to be with you much longer, but I'm going to send my Spirit to you, a comforter. And he's going to take the things of mine and reveal them to you. That's what we know. What he reveals to us. Nothing else. No more. No less. Not the natural man. He can't receive them. But he that is spiritual discerneth all things. Yet he himself is discerned of no man. God's word's a mystery to the lost, and we are a mystery to the lost. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. By his grace, he's revealed his mind, his will, his very heart to his people. And that's what Solomon's saying here. When that happens, when wisdom enters into your heart, it's got to come from outside of you because you don't have it otherwise. Not the mind only, the heart. That's interesting too. We look at the word inner first, but now let's look at the word heart. It enters into your heart. Now, we've already talked about 1 Corinthians 13 in connection with this, how that though we have all wisdom, and yet we don't love or have the love of God shed abroad in our heart, we're nothing. So the wisdom, the kind of wisdom that God gives, has something to do with love. Paul said the wisdom that doesn't love is worthless. And Solomon's saying this wisdom I'm talking about is worth everything you have and everything you could ever want to have. So we're talking about a wisdom that has something to do with love. The love of God. There is a wisdom that does not love, and it is not the wisdom of God. It's worthless, Paul said. But God's wisdom enters the heart. That's where this thing of love comes in. It enters into your heart. Not just your mind. It has to enter the mind, of course. Well, you can't know something in your heart that you don't hear with your ear and process in your mind to some extent. But faith is not a mental, intellectual assent only. And we know that from God's Word, from many places in God's Word. Paul said in Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Through faith, we understand. So it's faith that enables us to know. We understand through faith. You got to believe God before you can learn of Him. And so it's through faith that we understand all that is true. And faith is a heart work. That's seen all through the book. It's a heart work that God performs, which alters all of man's affections and all of his desires. When the merchant man seeking goodly pearls, when he finds that pearl of great price, he doesn't just start talking about how superior that pearl is and say, here's why this pearl is better than this pearl. No, he sells everything he has and buys it. You see, that's the difference between the mind and the heart. I've got to have that pearl. I'm not just... And I believe he did, because he didn't just acknowledge the truth and say, I believe what you're saying, and then get on with his life. He said, I want to be baptized. What does hinder me to identify myself with this Jesus Christ? It's described also, this thing of faith and life, this thing that enters into the heart when God comes in power. It's described as the giving of a new heart. In Ezekiel 36:26, because it's not a change made in the old nature. He doesn't alter our original nature. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. It always will be flesh. But it is a new birth, a new nature that we are made partakers of. As Paul called it in Peter said in 2 Peter 1:4, we're partakers of the divine nature, whereby are given unto us, Peter said, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so, notice also in verse 10 that we've seen the word enter. It's got to come from outside of you. You don't have it. And it's going to come to your heart. It's going to change your very... Wisdom enters into your heart. It happens in time. It happens at a certain time. There is a time when God imparts wisdom, this faith to believe God. It's called the time of love in Exodus 16:8. It's called being born again in John 3. You must be born again. Birth is an event that happens in time. We got a couple of those coming up among us. It's going to happen at of your second birth too. It came to pass exactly when he ordained it. Understand or know or enter into the kingdom of God until that happens. When that happens, you'll see what God says is true. Until then, you won't. You can't enter in. You can't see. You can't perceive the things of God until that when takes place. Only when wisdom enters into your heart will you see as the disciples did when our Lord said, blessed are your eyes for they see. There is a blessed when. But by God's grace, I've experienced. And many of you have. John Newton had too. He wrote about it. He said, he wrote of the experience of all believers when he wrote, I once was lost. There was a time, there was a when I was lost. But now, I'm found. Not I once was lost, but now I've found my way. No, I was found. I was blind, but now. Now I see. God delivered us one day from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. And see in our text what will happen when wisdom enters into your heart. He said, wisdom will enter into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant unto your soul. Now think about for a minute again the difference between knowledge and wisdom. And we see the order of this is correct. And it's a blessing to see this. It's instructive. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. A man can know many things and yet be completely unwise in that knowledge. Another man can know very little and yet have great wisdom by God's grace. But Solomon here said, when wisdom enters in, then that which is known, that which you know, will be sweet to you. Not before. Not before. Now you think about that. See if this is your experience. Before God gives wisdom, that is faith and understanding, the knowledge of God is not used rightly. In Romans 1, we read about it now. In Romans 1, those ones described there had knowledge when they knew God. When God had revealed what He reveals in nature unto them, they knew God, but they glorified Him not as God. Turn over there with me, Romans 1, 21. Look at this now. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. And Solomon said, when wisdom enters into your heart, now, what is known will be sweet to you. It'll be sweet. Romans chapter 1. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, why does Paul mention those two things? They had a knowledge of God that God had revealed them, a basic, certainly, knowledge. His eternal power and Godhead is revealed in the things they were made. But they had a knowledge of God and two things. Why did he mention those two things? They didn't glorify Him and they weren't thankful. You know why he mentioned those two things? Because that's what any knowledge of God should cause in the creature. If you have any knowledge of who God is, I don't care what it is, how basic, how simple, how elementary. Whatever knowledge God has given you of Himself, it ought to cause you to glorify Him, and it ought to cause you to thank Him. But they didn't. They had some knowledge, but wisdom had not entered into their heart. And so that knowledge was not used rightly by them. They knew now that God was worthy of glory. They knew that He was worthy of glory because His eternal power and Godhead, Paul said, had been revealed to them. But they would not glorify Him. They knew that He was worthy of thanksgiving. They knew that He had made the world and everything in it, the things that they partook of when they sat down to dinner that night. They knew that was from the hand of God, Paul said, but they weren't thankful. They weren't thankful for that sunlight that warmed them in the morning and caused their crops to grow. They weren't thankful for the moon at night and for the blessed coolness in the evening that was so refreshing. And all the blessings of nature that God has given to all of mankind. If they had wisdom, that knowledge would have caused them to glorify God and to thank Him for what He had done. They would have given Him the glory due His name. The right use of knowledge would have caused them to be thankful unto Him for all that He had given them and done for them, and their consequences for their deliberate refusal to honor God was that God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Ah, but Solomon said, when wisdom enters into your heart, that which you know, that which God has revealed, It'll be sweet unto you. You'll find it pleasant to attribute unto God the glory that's due unto His name. You'll find it sweet to honor Him as He's worthy to be honored. You'll say with David, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. That was sweet to David. He wanted to go worship God. The truth that God has elected a people from before the foundation of the world. You know, false religion knows that that's true. Did you know that? They know that that's true. They'll sit there and argue with you all day, but they can't read the Word of God without being confronted with it every time they read. To a great degree. Now, there are those who just don't read and don't hear anything, so they don't know. But when confronted with that truth, it's undeniable. I've watched people bow up. I've watched the veins stick out on their neck, and I've heard the most blasphemous things come out of their mouth. When confronted with the truth of God's electing grace, that He has a chosen people that He loved from the foundation of the world, and because He did with loving kindness, He drew them to Himself, predestinated them to be conformed to the image of His Son, and that knowledge, when it comes to your mind, will be pleasant if and only if wisdom has entered into your heart. It'll be offensive otherwise. There ain't nothing pleasant about it by nature. And that's what Solomon's talking about here. By faith, God has already entered into the heart now. If it's pleasant to you, He's entered into your heart. And like that good ground, your heart has been furrowed and cultivated. And the seed fell into good ground and took root and grew well. That's what wisdom does when it enters in. When the Spirit comes and enters in. And the reason that God's free, electing grace is pleasant to our mind and heart is because the knowledge of our sinnerhood has come to us by the gospel. When wisdom has entered in, that knowledge will be sweet to you. How can it be sweet to somebody to tell them what a rotten, filthy, nasty worm they are? Because it's the truth. It's just the truth. And you know it's true when wisdom's entered in. And you'll rejoice to know it. It's, the fact of it is not pleasant, but the knowledge of it is. The knowledge of it, to know that it is. It's better to know, isn't it? I want to know. We know of our total depravity, our utter inability, and therefore we know what the songwriter wrote. He said, it's not that I did choose thee, for Lord, that could not be. This heart would still refuse thee if thou hadst not chosen me. My heart owns none before thee, for thy rich grace I thirst. This knowing, if I love thee, thou must have loved me first. Now, you know why he thirsted for that rich grace? Because wisdom had entered into his heart. And the knowledge of that truth was sweet. Sweet. And when the glorious knowledge of the invincible, almighty redeeming power of Christ and Him crucified comes to the wise heart, the heart made wise by God's Spirit, it's sweet. Not to the natural palate. You start speaking of Christ's invincible grace, of the redeeming power, the effectual redeeming power of His blood. And natural, unregenerate sinners start thinking, well, wait a minute. That leaves my will out of it. You bet your bottom dollar it leaves your will out of it. And if God ever enters into your heart in wisdom, it'll be sweet to you. Before God, you'll be glad of it. It's not pleasant to the natural, unregenerate religionist that Christ's precious blood did not merely give sinners a chance to be saved, but actually washed His people from their sins. But it's sweet to me. How about you? Solomon told us why. Because wisdom has entered in. Something has happened to us. Something outside of ourselves has come into our very heart, the very wisdom of God. And now it's sweet to us because we know it's right. A dead man don't need a chance to live. He needs to be given life. You can give a dead man every chance to live, and he's still going to be dead. What a dead man needs is life, life-giving power. Can these bones live, Ezekiel? The Lord asked Ezekiel. And Ezekiel said, Lord, I don't know, but you do. The only one that can know whether these bones, these particular bones, can live is the one who has power to give them life. If he gives it, they'll live. If he doesn't, they won't. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. The irresistible power of God's grace is the inevitable companion truth to that of the effectual redeeming power of our Savior's sin-atoning sacrifice. If Christ redeemed you, in other words, if he actually did redeem his people, which he did, then the Holy Spirit will bring you, will quicken you. He goes where he will and gives life, gives the new birth to whomsoever he will. And he will quicken all who are represented by Christ. He said, I pray not for the world, but I pray for those that you've given me. He represented as high priest all those sheep for whom he said in John 10 that he had laid down his life. Every one. He said, of all those that the Father hath given me, I shall lose nothing, but shall raise it up again at the last day. That truth is pleasant to me. And the reason it is because God has given me wisdom. He's opened our understanding that we might understand the Scriptures. And not just give mental assent to some facts, but we love the truth. We love the truth. And more to the point, we have received the love of the truth. That's what happens when wisdom enters in. Now, let me show you that. I want to... you can turn there or not. Paul, speaking of the last days in 2 Thessalonians 2:8, and I'm almost through. I'm going to be very brief tonight. But in 2 Thessalonians 2:8, Paul talking about the last days, and here's what he said. Then shall that wicked, capital W, wicked, his very name is wicked, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. As Martin Luther wrote, one little word shall fail him. The spirit of his mouth will destroy. And shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why do they perish, Paul? Because they received not the love of the truth. You see how that goes with our text tonight? Wisdom enters in. Paul said, received. What happens when it enters in? You love the truth. Solomon said, when wisdom enters in, the knowledge of God will be sweet to you. You'll love his truth. He's saying here, these ones will perish. Did you hear what God said right there? These ones will perish. Why? If you do not perish in your sins, it will be because you have received the love of God's truth. Because God has put wisdom into your heart, insomuch that when the knowledge of Him, the knowledge of yourself, and the knowledge of how He saves sinners by His righteousness and precious blood, the knowledge of how God can be just and justify you, came to your ears, and it didn't offend you. It didn't make you mad. It was pleasant. You received the love of the truth. Thank God for the truth. And let me make one more statement, and I'm through. Thank God and praise His holy name forever for the love of the truth. Do you love His truth? I can see in your faces, some of you, that you love His truth. Because when His truth goes forth, you just look like you're in love. You're in love with Him. And what a privilege tonight to come to His table. And He said, as often as you do this, you do show forth my death.